This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Thanks. Is DCR.
Chris, you're not here yet, but Rick made the announcement this morning. He now is with me and hates the Wednesday morning.
It just makes more sense to hate Tuesday.
Tuesday, I still have a little bit saved up from the recharge of the weekend. By Wednesday, I've got nothing. I actually turned down sexy time last night for the first time.
No, you did not.
I promise you I did. I said to myself, this is going to be at least 7 minutes. I can't afford the 7 minutes.
This is DCR.
The Rick DiPietro Romantic Combine.
Yeah. How are you with the cones?
On 98.7. ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So we have a time now for Dan Graziano, 7:15 this morning. Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. A lot to get into before we go there. I still can't believe that opened. I still can't believe that you said no to your beautiful
wife. I had no choice. I had no choice. None.
Oh, there was a choice.
What do you mean?
Just made the wrong one.
What does that
one?
Mean you had no choice?
In that moment, I didn't feel like there was a choice. I explained to RJ and Ray. I mean,
There's no way they understood. They might have even told you they did. They lied to you. There's no way that they, because nobody wants to take the other side from you, there's no way they agree with your decision. No way.
I believe RJ when he told me. When I reeled off the list of things that would have to be taken care of to get this thing done, he's like, now I can kind of see it.
No, he's
I'm telling you.
There's no way. RJ, you understand why, in fact, he did not partake last night.
Well, after he detailed some of it and what his evening is like, and he doesn't have a lot of time to work with during the day, so some tough decisions have to be made. You know, when the NFL front office people assess their salary cap and their roster going into this offseason, there's some good players that hit the market, and unfortunately last night, that was what hit the cutting room floor for Rick.
No. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I will not
disagree.
Stand by.
I think
that
you're overanalyzing
the cutting
this.
Room floor.
I think you're overanalyzing it. Rick just may be slowing down.
Yeah.
Just maybe slowing down.
You know what? You know what? You need Blue Chew. I think that's what
that's
it is.
He needs a little help, Dave.
Yeah, you need a little help. A little
supplementation. Kind of get it going.
Isn't that working?
No, that's working fine. Uh-huh. It's the energy stuff. I mean, if you gave me like some kind of energy drink last night before bed, I probably could have got. I mean, I would have taken care of business, but
Rico, I know downstairs. You got a lot to do around the house, but you don't have more to do than Cass does. And so to say that you don't have it, but she wants it,
yeah,
and to deny her of that,
it's bad.
Just feels like you're a bad guy, man.
I mean, this could be that moment in your marriage where everything turns.
No,
I'm just saying it could be.
I'm not going to take it that far, Dave. I'm just saying that little Rick might be in the doghouse for a little while.
I've already blamed Dave.
I've already told her it's Dave's fault because
right.
He kept me up on
Monday. So you're lying there. She's trying to get romantic. You're like, I'm sorry, it's Rothenberg's fault. That's just what I want. Great.
It wasn't even trying. What makes it worse, she wasn't even trying to get romantic. It was like full on, like she was ready to just take advantage of me.
And you said no?
I had no choice.
Right, Dave? I'm still trying to. I don't understand.
I could not ramp it up. I was exhausted. I couldn't ramp it up. I couldn't do it. I'm willing to admit that I just couldn't. I couldn't do what it took.
I don't even know who you are anymore. You know, there's certain things, Chris, that I look at as will happen during the day. The sun will rise.
Yes.
Right? That will happen. At some point during the day, my kids will fight. That will happen. When Rick is propositioned for that kind of romantic time, that's going to happen. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah, it's a huge letdown, Dave, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
I just don't understand how Rick could make that decision in that moment when the wife is ready to go. I mean, listen, you might not feel like you're 100%.
You're not a team
that's
player.
That's one of those you got to suck it up.
Yeah,
you got to power through.
Player. This whole thing, I'm a team player, I'll do what it takes for the team. The team needed some help last night, and you said, no, it's about me.
Yeah. Can you even say no?
I can. I didn't think I could, but apparently I can.
I thought I knew you. Now I'm realizing I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
The last time something like this happened, I told that story before where I actually fell asleep. Like where I had it all set up. It was perfect. I was actually like laying on the top of the bed, had everything all geared up, and then she walked in and I was sleeping.
But I can understand that.
I'm with Dave on that one. I completely understand falling asleep, but you had every intention of getting it going. But to actively deny her.
Yeah, you said no.
Of the opportunity to get it going. I just, man, that's a dereliction of duty as a husband.
It really is.
You guys make me feel worse and worse about this.
You should. You should feel worse.
You should feel terrible.
I mean, we talk about Dave Rothenberg and not exercising the way he should be. This is one of those where we get to get on our teammate because you're falling short. I'm disappointed in you, Rico.
Point.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to make it up to her.
Which is not a bad thing.
That's if she'll let you make it up to her.
That's right. You're going to have groveling to do. You might have to travel to a far distance place to get a very nice food at some point today.
All right, how about this? How about this story?
Speaking of falling, lobster to make this up for her.
Speaking of falling asleep, you'll like this story. More story time. For some reason,
hang on, Sandy.
It's story time with Rick DiPietro.
So, Dave, you'll like this story because it involves being in Vegas, and you love Vegas.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So, I had a couple buddies that were in Vegas, and they went out, gambled, had dinner, went to a club, came home. Back to the hotel, and they thought it was going to be a good idea. You know what we should do? Let's have a Paul Pierce situation.
Oh.
We should invite some people over. So they did it. They made the call, and they decided what they were going to do is they were going to put the latch on their hotel door just so when they arrived, they could kind of knock quickly and then walk in. Little did they realize that they were so banged up and tired that as they were waiting for the entertainment to arrive, that everyone in the hotel room fell asleep. So when they woke up, all their stuff was gone.
They got robbed.
Yeah, the entertainment came, saw that they were all asleep, and then just took all their stuff and left.
Oh, my God.
You let them go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see them.
Oh, my God.
Watches, wallets, money, gone.
Everything.
Everything gone.
Well, at least they're sound sleepers. Uh-oh is right. All right, let's I'll discuss it with you. I don't even know who you are anymore. Let's turn our attention to someone I do know, and I do understand, and that is Joe Douglas. He says all things. Obviously, the trade the other day to Carolina with Sam Darnold. Douglas says all things with Sam were, in fact, considered.
Even discussion about us taking a quarterback at pick number two and having Sam here for the season. And ultimately, we felt that that wouldn't be the best situation for Sam, the rookie quarterback, Coach Sala and his staff, and the locker room. We felt like this was the best decision for the entire organization moving forward and hitting the reset button.
I agree. I think if you ran it back with Sam and he was your backup or your 1A to the 1B or he's going to hold the rein for a couple of games, I think you would have had a whole mess on your hands if you were the Jets.
I don't disagree with you, Dave, but here's the thing. Your coaches get paid for a reason. And a big part of why they invested in having Rob Saleh is because they think he's somebody that's capable of having good relationships with their players, unlike their previous head coach in Adam Gase. So if you were in a situation where it made more sense to bring back Sam rather than trade him to the Carolina Panthers, a couple of days ago, I just think that that's something that the head coach has got to work out. Ultimately, I think they made this decision in the timing that they did because they got the second round pick from the Carolina Panthers. And I don't think anybody was willing to take it there in terms of the level of compensation they were willing to give up for Sam.
You don't want to take that chance, right? I mean, it seemed like there were two teams. It was going to be the Broncos in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And if you waited, I mean, you never know what would happen. Okay, we'll say, let's do what Arizona did, and we'll wait till after the first round. But what happens if all of a sudden now the draft falls where, Carolina's sitting there at eight, and Justin Fields is
still on the board. There. Yeah.
So now, I mean, now they've solved their quarterback spot, and now you don't have anyone trade Sam Darnold to. And the other thing, too, as far as, not having both quarterbacks drafting Zach and keeping Sam Darnold, it's just an unnecessary distraction that they didn't want to deal with.
Yeah, you put yourself into, you're right, the perfect word is unnecessary. Could it play out well? It could. Could it be a nightmare? It could. Why risk it?
Well, because now, all of a sudden, and Canty knows this, like, and Rich Cimini's the best. We love Rich. But now, whatever it ends up being, OTAs, mini camps, when you get into training camp, Rich is going to be there with Ira from Staten Island, and they're going to be counting how many first-team reps Sam took as opposed to how many Zach took. And then, what happens if Sam starts the season? What does that say about Zach, that he can't beat out Sam? And then Sam plays well. How do you take Sam out? It's just, you've seen teams do
this. You're asking for trouble is what you're doing.
But you've seen teams do this. Like, even with, as good as Russell Wilson is, the reason why they don't bring on Colin Kaepernick is because, you know, all of a sudden now there were some guys in that locker room that didn't necessarily love Russell Wilson. They see Colin Kaepernick flying around on the practice field. That could create a distraction in the locker room that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah,
it's best for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, to have the opportunity to have a clean break now, I guess that's a good thing. And the compensation makes it more palatable because you got three picks from the Carolina Panthers for Sam, including a second rounder and a fourth rounder next year.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a haul, so to speak, for a guy that we didn't know whether or not he was going to be able to fetch a third round pick. But I will say this, had the Carolina Panthers not thrown in that second round pick, I think Sam is still a part of his team. So this could have been the situation for the Jets moving forward with having two young quarterbacks in the same room. And again, I come back to, that's just something that your coaching staff has got to be able to deal with. You don't want them to have that extra layer, but I mean, that comes along with the territory because you got to do what's in the best interest of the organization. And giving away a Sam Darnold for a third round pick, I don't think that would have been worth it to make that move this week had that been the best offer from the Panthers.
And they probably could have, but like Rick said, I think it's the appropriate word. It seems and feels like it was kind of unnecessary to go ahead and do that. All right, a little more from Joe Douglas. Do they feel like they failed one Sam Darnold?
Coming off a 2-14 season, there's not a lot of successes. Look, I mean, there's a lot of things go into why this didn't work out. And, you know, ultimately, we have to look forward. And like I said, keep bringing in high-quality players, high-quality people, drafting and or trading for high-caliber people and players moving forward.
I got to be honest, and I think you guys will disagree. I'm so sick of the idea, did they fail Sam Darnold? The Jets failed everything. They failed the fan base. They failed themselves. They failed the coaches. The GMs failed. So, yeah, I guess so. He was just kind of collateral damage. But enough already. I'm sick of I feel so awful for Sam Darnold. There's a lot of people in the world I feel awful for. Sam Darnold is not one of them.
What do you mean you guessed? You can't sit there and say you guessed. No, they failed him. I mean, was he partly to blame? Yeah, he was. But I mean, they did him no favors.
But enough.
And you can see by his reaction.
I don't care anymore.
Did you guys get a chance to see the video of his reaction?
Oh, raising the roof. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he realizes that this is a good thing for him too. I tell you what though, going 2-14 and winning those two games, I mean, the person that got screwed the most is Joe Douglas.
Because he doesn't get Trevor Lawrence.
Well, he picks, like, you have the first overall pick. You pick Trevor Lawrence, and it doesn't work out. You're not going to get fired for that.
No.
You make the decision to now draft Zach Wilson with the second overall pick, and it don't work out, you're fired.
That's right, and you probably never work again.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I don't understand, Chris? Why everyone seemingly out there in the football world thinks that Sam Darnold is going to turn into a star player. I'm listening to Greeny yesterday. He's going to be a star. He's going to be sensational. And you hear Kuiper. We'll hear from him in a second. A great trade for Carolina. Why is everyone so convinced that Sam Darnold is going to be a great quarterback?
Because the Jets organization failed him, as Rick described it. I mean, because it was so bad, because they were so dysfunctional, everybody gives Sam the benefit of the doubt. And they go back to the projections coming out of USC and what he was supposed to be just based on the physical talent. And they're saying that that's still in there and he just needs to get to the right team so all of that potential can be unlocked. But Dave, I'm one of those people that's in the side of you can't discount the 3 years that we've seen Sam in New York. And the lack of productivity, the struggles that he's had with the turnovers, and you know the seemingly loss of confidence, like all of that stuff is a part of this equation as well. And that's why I don't necessarily know that his career is going to take off once he goes down there in Carolina. Now, I think he'll be better, but I'm still not going to sit here and say that you know I expect Sam Darnold to go down there and have some kind of Pro Bowl season.
Yeah, it's like when Mina Kimes worked with you. Like once we get her away from Rothenberg, that's when she'll really become a star.
No, so yeah, I didn't see it like that at all. I think it was like she had potential, and until I got to work with her, it was always untapped.
But
once
big star,
I
you know.
Worked with her, then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Well, you'd be wrong.
They're like we see flashes, Like, we've heard great things, and we see some flashes with Roethlisberger, but once we get away, her away from the Adam Gase of radio show host, then all of a sudden, wow. Now.
So, all right. Okay.
Now she'll flourish.
I'm the Adam Gase. Can we play his open again, please, Santhi? I'm the Adam Gase.
Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is
playing
Thursday.
Out of position.
A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
Early risers will get work.
The system failed me.
The system failed you.
You failed me.
Out of position.
You shoddy
machine.
Out of
position. You're playing the wrong sport.
Yeah, but the wrong sport. That's because I had trained for a different sport. And then all of a sudden, right before it's supposed to take place, my guy is gone.
It's not like RJ said to you, listen, Roethlisberger's not there. Open it up in Japanese. He just said, open up the show for 30 seconds. And that's what poured out of your mouth?
I've trained all this time to be a Zamboni driver. And then all of a sudden, I find out right before the game that the goalie goes down, and now I got to jump in net.
I'm a baby. You're a baby. I don't see it exactly the same way. All right. Mel Kiper Jr. was on Get Up yesterday. He loves this trade for the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina, I think it's an A+. I would give Carolina the best in this deal because they got the young 23-year-old quarterback, former third pick overall, in a division now with Matt Ryan, 36. Tom Brady can't play forever, and New Orleans is now figuring it out at quarterback. So this gives the Panthers a leg up in terms of getting their young quarterback in Sam Darnold.
Not only that, but Mel, very quickly, to repeat for those who haven't seen you say it, if Sam Darnold was in this draft class, where would he go?
At worst, the third pick overall.
I don't know how you could say that after watching him for the last 3 years in the NFL.
Is none of what was bad about the Jets and Sam Darnold, none of it's on Sam Darnold? Zero?
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. If that was really the thought, if people really believe that, why the hell would San Francisco give up two extra first-round picks to go up to get a quarterback if they could have just traded what Carolina did for Sam Darnold?
For this great quarterback?
You know the answer to that question, Rico.
Not everybody feels like this.
No, I think the majority of the league doesn't feel like that, Dave. I think that's the thing. Like Sam Darnold, a lot of these draft pundits are holding on to the grades that they had on him coming out of USC in 2018.
What is so wrong with saying I was wrong, Chris?
Why wouldn't the Chicago Bears made a move for Sam Darnold?
They wanted Andy Dalton so desperately?
He refuses to get off of it. Like, I don't know how you can, after what you've seen, Could just say that with such certainty?
Well, here's the thing. Sam has got to have some fault in his struggles in New York, right? We're not saying that the Jets did right by him, but I mean, it's not all on the Jets organization either. Like, the player has to be able to rise above some of the shortcomings of the team and the organization. And we've seen quarterbacks do that in spurts. Now, I'm not going to say that anybody was just going to be dropped in here and have success, but certainly some of the things, some of the turnovers, some of the things that we've seen from Sam Darnold, they're not all on his receivers, his supporting cast, or his coaching. Like, the player has got to make better decisions. So I just feel like, you know, it's putting a lot on the Jets to say that Sam Darnold's career is all of a sudden going to ascend to, you know, being a top 10 to 12 quarterback in this league.
Why did he go for a second round pick? If Orlovsky and Greeny and Kiper are right, why did you get a second, a fourth, and a sixth for a 23-year-old soon-to-be star quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, but not even that, though. I mean, why wouldn't, if you're Denver and you're positioned in the draft, where the only way, I mean, we're going to have to give up a haul of picks to get up to four to get the fourth best quarterback in the draft. If Sam Darnold would have been the third quarterback take, why wouldn't they make a trade for Sam Darnold?
How about Washington? Washington brought in a guy that's never been to the postseason who's 38 years old.
Yeah, I don't know what the motivation is to say stuff like that, but I mean, you're talking to someone that really likes Sam, and I'm happy that he's going to get a fresh start, but that's crazy talk, man.
Yeah, but I think that's a lot of it too, though, Rico. Because of the way Sam has handled himself and never blaming anybody else and putting it all on him, like, I feel like that has endeared him to a lot of people in NFL circles. And so they wish the kid the best. They want him to go somewhere else and succeed, knowing how the Jets organization failed him in terms of putting the infrastructure around him. So they're going out there and they're saying these things, trying to pump him up just because they want him to have success. But, I mean, even with wanting that, you still can't ignore what you saw the last 3 years.
And
that has to factor into the decision that Joe Douglas made.
He's injury prone as well. Joe in Massapequa. Joe, you're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to make one point. I believe Sam Darnold should have been traded, but, you know, he went through a couple stretches, you know, late in the year for like 2 years in a row where he looked pretty good, especially with Robbie Anderson. So
yeah, meaningless
I think
games,
there is
Joe.
Potential there. And what's that?
In meaningless games. I mean, everyone always goes back there. They were meaningless games. The season was over, man.
So, Joe, he was the quarterback for three full seasons outside of a couple games here and there where he was hurt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many moments did you watch him and think this is going to be a really good quarterback? A handful?
Yeah. I mean, definitely not enough. That's why I think he needed a change of scenery for both parties. But I think there is potential there. And they took away his number one wide receiver.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, but Joe, part of this, too, is, and the team around him was terrible. The offensive line was bad. The wide receivers, the weapons were bad. I mean, all those different reasons. You're 100% right. He did not get a fair shake. But, I mean, the issues with Sam are still, today, after 3 years in the NFL, are still the same issues that we were talking about when he was at USC.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the decision-making. That's not talent. That isn't talent stuff. That's how you process the game stuff. And confidence stuff that I don't think anyone really knows until we see what he looks like in Carolina. Like, that's not something that just all of a sudden happens.
Maybe that's been stripped from him. And you know what? Here's the thing. Joe said, I think he has potential. I agree. I also think he has potential. But Greeny's not saying, oh, he has potential and there's a chance he's going to be really good. Greeny's saying he's going to be a star player with Carolina. I mean, you hear Kuiper saying, this is an A-plus slam dunk for Carolina. I think he has potential. But I would never go out on a limb and make a statement
like
that.
Okay, but here's why they would feel comfortable saying that. Is because of what you see in a place like Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. Is all of a sudden you bring in Kevin Stefanski. He's got a competent head coach. They have plenty of talent. And then, you know, he all of a sudden turns into a legitimate franchise quarterback. I think basically the reason why Greeny would say something like that is because he's basing his opinion strictly on the fact that Adam Gase is horrendous at what he does. And now he's going to a situation where Matt Rhule's a good head coach and Joe Brady's a hell of an offensive coordinator. And they got some actual offensive pieces around Sam Darnold. Because a lot of a quarterback having success, in all honesty, except for the rare few, is the system that they're being put into.
And I agree. Mm-hmm. But, Rick, I think he has a chance. But I'm not gonna say statements like this is he's going to be great and he's the future quarterback and he's going to lead this team to huge things. I think that's hyperbole at this point.
But the reason why I wouldn't feel comfortable is because I don't know what's going on inside his head.
Mm-hmm.
He does not look like a confident quarterback.
No.
And I've been there in those situations. That just doesn't all of a sudden you snap your fingers and that comes back.
Maybe it will with him. He's in a better situation, that's for sure. Lonnie in Harlem is very disgusted with you. Good morning, Lonnie. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, family. How are we?
We're good.
Rico. What's the deal? No sexy time last night.
Lonnie, it's your fault.
He'll blame anybody, Lonnie.
I'm still down here in the basement.
Yeah, exactly right. I hear you moaning down the basement. Keep me up all night.
Okay. And you're not doing the Thursday open? Come on, Rico. I'm down here in the basement for no reason. I'm calling up Mike T, and I'm getting a shipment of X2 cents over here, okay? You'll have the energy to do all of the above, but you just might get a little gassy. I'm sorry about that.
I thought I could trust you. I thought I could trust you to keep your hands free, but apparently I can't. I'm going to have to handcuff you tonight.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, gentlemen, I think the Sam trade, I mean, I believe it's going to be good for him because he's going to a Joe Brady ran system. He's going to be able to get the stench of Adam Gase off of him. Plus, I think Matt Rhule will coach him up pretty good. Plus, he's going to get his favorite receiver back. We got to see what they do in the draft as far as getting him other pieces to throw to or, you know, maybe a backup for Christian McCaffrey because, you know, he gets banged up because they use him entirely too much. So I believe, you know, the change is going to be a good outlook. It can be a good outlook on the rest of his career. And, I mean, we can only hope. And the only thing that kind of sucks for him is that he has to go back to playing Tom Terrific twice a year now. Oy.
Yeah, well, you know, at least he gets competent coaching.
It is kind of a similar situation to Ryan Tannehill, though, if you think about it a little bit, and the situation that he's going into. Where the team, I mean, the offense is based around Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just like in
Derrick
Tennessee.
Henry with Tennessee, yeah.
Different kind of running, obviously different kind of running game. But
it's a nice option to have, though. Takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, that's for sure.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I think the amount of accusers against Deshaun Watson now, last I saw, was 22. Is that what you guys have seen as well?
22, I saw 23.
23 now?
Yep.
That's a lot. Now they're starting to become public, and they're starting to make statements. And we heard that yesterday from Ashley Solis, is her name, on her lawsuit against one Deshaun Watson.
I'm here to take back the power and take back control. I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson is my assaulter and my harasser. Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy.
Very difficult to listen to, guys.
Yeah, here's the thing I don't understand, though. At some point, and again, they go back to, so Rusty Harden kind of goes back to initially where,
you know,
That's Watson's attorney,
right.
That they were approached before the first civil suit was filed. I believe it was by this woman. She's the first victim, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So they were asked, like, would you prefer to settle this before, you know, we file suit for, you know, six figures? At what point, though, do you ask Deshaun Watson, like, what exactly happened? Like, what are we talking about here? Because your interpretation of what you think happened, or what you think is offensive to a massage therapist, could be different than how the massage therapist sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to establish that. But to have this many, I mean, you're talking about, so it's 22 or 23. You saw 22, I saw 23. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, Rusty Harden said, well, he's got 18 massage therapists that say they had, their experience with Deshaun Watson was professional and no,
yep,
no problems. Yeah, you're talking about, that's, I mean, you're talking about 40 to 41 different massage therapists.
At least. You say 40 to 41. It's 22 or 23 that have issues with him. 18 or maybe more that think he was you know, fine and handled himself appropriately. And that's what we know of. There's no way it stops there. Either good or bad, I'm sure it's going to be a lot more than that.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, but that, what we know about. Like, I can't. That's a lot of massage therapists. Like, you, yeah, may love
professional athletes typically don't have that many massage therapists. I mean, guys will go their entire career and they'll have one or two. So, I mean, the fact that you have so many, it does make you raise an eyebrow. But, Rico, I got to say this, man, with you know, all of these massage therapists coming out and giving, you know, vastly different accounts, I mean, the contrast couldn't be any more stark. I don't know what to make of this entire situation. I really don't. Like, the one thing that I think is important with this entire investigation is the fact that the police are starting to get involved. They are starting to, you know, have an inquiry. So I just feel like that's only going to aid into getting to the bottom of all of these accusations and uncovering the truth. And I think that's what's in the best interest of the NFL. I think that's what's in the best interest of all parties involved.
Yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions because we don't have all the information, but reading some of the stuff, reading the Sports Illustrated article and everything else, I mean, having been a professional athlete that, you know, especially as a goalie, you know, the things, like, I just tell you this, like, when I went to BU, it turned out when I was in the U.S. program, they told me, you got a pulled groin, don't worry about it. You know, rest up for a week, you'll be back at it. So I went this whole time playing, just got worse and worse and worse, wasn't a pulled groin. I get to BU for my freshman year, I can't even move, so I go through, like, 10, 15 different tests. It turns out I have stress fractures in my pelvis.
Wow.
So I had a bunch of... So where the trainer, who was a man, had to massage was, like, the most awkward place you could ever be massaged. Like, we're talking, like, as awkward as humanly possible.
We got
where he had to stick his hands, right?
Yeah, but it was understood in your mind he was not doing anything to cross the line, right? Like, you never once thought he was crossing a line of making you feel uncomfortable.
No, exactly right. But to my point, where as an athlete you're going to be asked, you're going to ask a massage therapist to rub can be uncomfortable. because it is close. Like if you're rubbing my groins, it is, it's close to my stuff, right? Like it's close. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that when all of a sudden you start using this many different massage therapists and put yourself in positions where it's like, I'm going to fly you in from a different state and then we're going to have this massage at a hotel room where it's just me and you. And one of the stipulations of this massage is I get too hot in a thin sheet. I only want to use a towel. But what do you mean you only want to use a towel? Like, that's the mandatory part of this massage is you will only use a towel? That at some point it's too hot for you so you're going to rip it off? I don't know, man. It just seems like, it seems like, and again, this is only my opinion, from the stuff that I've read, is that Deshaun Watson seems like, in a lot of these situations, he's looking for more than just a massage. Like, the intention going into this wasn't, I'm just going to get a legitimate massage and be done with it. This was, I want some extracurriculars that go along with this massage.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, that's the truth, is that everyone has their speculation, and a lot of people will take his side, a lot of people take the other side, but it is, if nothing, a certainly troubling story. More from Ashley Solis, the Watson accuser. She says, Santiago, you're going to play this in a moment, haunted by what happened to her.
I replay the incident over and over in my head as if I'm trying to wake up from some horrible nightmare. Only that nightmare is real. I blame myself at times, which is insane. Society has groomed women to believe that it's their fault when they're harassed or assaulted, as if somehow we asked for it, or as if somehow we could have prevented it. I can no longer practice the profession that I love the most without shaking during the session. My hands shake whenever I place them on a client, and I've had to cut sessions short.
Look, I don't know what happened. But either she's a really great liar or she's really troubled by what happened with her and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but ultimately that's what it's going to come down to, right? Is he said what Deshaun Watson says and what these women say. Which I don't know how Deshaun Watson with this many people, like this many civil suits, how with unless there's video or something, I don't know how he gets out of this.
No, I don't think he gets out of this with reputation intact. I don't think that happens, Rico. I just, here's the thing, man. It's a lot of accusers. It's, like you said, 23 women. I mean, we're just getting to the point now where it seems like there's a criminal investigation that's going on. I don't know what to make of this story. Did Deshaun Watson put himself in some compromising situations? Absolutely. Does that mean he's 100% unequivocally guilty of what he's being accused of? I can't take it there. Like, I don't know. And so I feel like we're all in this wait-and-see type of position. It's almost like it's a holding pattern. And until the investigation and the legal proceedings run their course, I don't think we can make any determination.
I think you're right. And I think that it feels like it's a holding pattern, but it feels like we're running out of fuel. Like people are, you know, hearing stories like this and reading the amount of numbers, Chris, people are not going to say, well, let's just wait and see and what we probably should do. Because I think that a lot of people are probably taking the other approach of there's strength in numbers. There's 23 of these women, right? I mean, you hear this woman yesterday speak, and I think that the public perception is turning and probably has turned on Deshaun Watson now.
No, I feel that way too, Dave, but I don't know. This feels different than some of the Me Too situations we've had in the past just because the criminal side of things has escalated a lot quicker than this seems to have gone. So, I'm not ready to say that Deshaun Watson is guilty of any type of, mischievous behavior. I'm not ready to go that far with this statement. I just feel like this is going to be one of those things that we have to allow to play out, and I don't think it's going to play out quickly. So people are going to make their conclusions. They're going to come to some kind of determination. I just feel like this is not one of those things that I'm comfortable saying one side is right and one side is wrong. I'm not there yet.
I don't think anybody can. I think that there's going
to be. But I think people are, though, Dave. People are, to your point.
Yeah, I think people are, and I think it's easy, too, and I think you have to kind of check yourself and say, you know what, I need to take a step back and realize that all the information and there's a full legal process that has to play out here. All right, Rick, are you ready to roll here? You have a question ready to go? Are you ready to start the segment that you love?
I was, and then you guys got all over me for what happened last night. Now, mentally, I don't know where I'm at. I'm starting to second-guess my decision. I consulted. I was texting back and forth with Luis Rojas. He said, "No, you're well within your right." He said, "Load management." And I mean, he was giving me all sorts of different reasons why, but I don't feel like I did the right thing now.
Well, you didn't do the right thing, but this is not, I wasn't even going there. Why did you turn this about you? I was saying, are you ready for Stump Rothenberg? That's all I was
because
doing.
I was excited. I told you that I don't really like Wednesdays anymore, but I know Stump Rothenberg is coming up. So I kind of like, now all of a sudden I'm into it. And yeah, I have a question. I think it's a good question, but I don't know. We'll see.
You say it like you're apologizing. I have a question and I think it's a good question.
Well, I don't know now. Now I'm second guessing myself.
I didn't mean to add such agita to your Wednesday. Let's start it out. Santi, this will be the time that we're going to play the open for Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
And now the stress levels rise. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. How do you feel about a sponsor with Stump Rothenberg, Rick? Does that make you happy?
No, it doesn't. I'm not surprised. I mean, you're the only one. I mean, you got this whole, whatever it is, I don't know, if this group of people. You have a hockey show that's sponsored. You have a segment that's sponsored.
Got the Kevorka is what I got going on here. All right, let's bring him in. Man that loves this segment more than maybe anybody else, and that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Bloodtime?
We are very well. We are very ready to start Stump Rothenberg, and you, my friend, will lead it off.
Lead off is exactly where I'm going with my question today, Dave.
Oh, how about that? As if you didn't know that, Dave. I had no idea.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, my God.
There have been four players with more than 700 at-bats in a single season. Mm-hmm. Willie Wilson and Juan Samuel did it in the 80s. Can you name the two that have done it in this century?
Most at-bats in a season.
Willie Wilson?
More
the Willies?
The Royals. In a single season.
Did Jimmy Rollins do it, Rick?
I'm not giving you the answer. You already knew the question.
Do you know the answer?
I have a pretty good idea. Like, there's a couple names I'm leaning towards.
All right, so what did you give me? You gave me...
He's on the other side.
You gave me Wilson and who?
And Juan Samuel.
Oh, the great man, Juan Samuel. I think it's Jimmy Rollins. So it's got to be... And you said these are leadoff hitters, right?
Yeah, Rollins is one. Give me the other one.
And when did you say, what's the time frame for when this can be?
Don't give any more hints. Don't give any more hints.
I think he said it.
The name I'm thinking about is fairly recent.
I'm going to go Ichiro.
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
Boom.
Stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. Boom. Take that. All right, what's your question, which may or may not be good here?
Well, I feel like it's topical. Here we go. Give me the
celibacy.
I have three kids.
You won't have four.
You don't understand the struggle. I'll tell you right now, at some point you're going to push me to where I just leave the show and I go take care of my business.
Good. I'd feel better about things.
It won't be long, I promise. Here we go.
Doing a commercial break. No one will know.
Give me the three players that are the quickest, that have been the quickest to 70 home runs in Major League Baseball history.
I'm going to say Pete Alonso because he went there last night.
Correct. Take your time while you Google.
Shut up. Judge.
Correct. That's number two.
Jan Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz. Is Ryan Howard the third?
Yes!
Yes!
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good! Yeah!
That was terrific by me, wasn't it?
That was a really good one.
Nice.
Pete Alonso, 220 games to get to 70 home runs.
So basically a home run every third game for Alonso.
Yeah, 11 games better. Judge was 231 games.
Wow. How old is Alonso?
Pete Alonso is
25? 26?
Yeah, I would say somewhere around there.
I mean, if he stays healthy, he has a real chance to get to 500 home runs. I know it's early, but a real chance to get the 500.
It feels like he's going to have a big season.
I hope so. Crushed
he's got
him
it.
Last night.
He is 26.
I thought the opening game, the last out was going to be a home run. I thought he unloaded on that one.
Well, yeah, but the wind was crazy.
I know. All right, let's go to Andrew in Manalapan. Andrew, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg. 2-0, by the way.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is a two-part question.
Can't we just make it a one-part question?
It's a quick two-part, I promise.
All right.
Presidential ceremony pitches have been a tradition in MLB since 1910. So who was the first president to throw out the ceremonial first pitch?
Taft.
And who was the only president to never throw out a ceremonial first pitch?
Hmm. Is the Taft correct, by the way?
Taft is correct.
1910.
Now you're just hanging on the rim.
Never to throw out the first pitch.
Wasn't this fairly recent?
I don't think Trump ever threw out the first pitch.
Well, I guess not during a pandemic, but...
What difference does that make?
What do you mean not during a pandemic? He was president for 4 years.
This goes back. Trump did throw out a first pitch, by the way.
I don't remember that, but okay. Is it a man from Georgia?
The man from Georgia?
Yeah.
I'll give you the initials.
I'm going to say Jimmy Carter was what I was going with that went right over your head there.
That is correct.
There you go.
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
I don't think that Trump threw out a first pitch, by the way, Rick.
No, I don't think so either. That's why I said fairly recent.
Yeah. That's my calculations are correct. That's 3-0, yes?
That is 3-0, but if Trump did throw it, it would have been the best first pitch ever.
Ever in the history of first pitches. All right, let's go to Sal and Dutchess. Sal, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Sal.
Quick question before I answer my question. Are you guys going to keep on talking about the Watson thing after this segment? Because I was going to ask if I could get back on because I got a few comments or just... Wait till tomorrow.
Let's just go with the question now, and I don't think we're going to spend a lot more time on the Deshaun Watson situation.
Okay,
I don't know
so if you go
to
tomorrow, I'll call
to
tomorrow honest. Then.
Okay. Maybe tomorrow.
We like when all you right. call in. You call in every day, please.
No, well, I want to call. Yeah, I want to get on this thing because, well, I'll call in tomorrow if you guys talk about
Perfect.
It. All right, here
Next
we go.
Time, Sal, I know you listen a lot. Next time you hear us say the name Deshaun Watson, you call and we'll get you right on the air.
Okay, but not today.
No, right, correct, not today.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
In the Big Ten, who was the only person ever to get drafted the highest in the Big Ten?
What sport?
I can't give you. Well, it's football. Football. I'm sorry. Football. Get drafted the highest. If I give you the year, you'll get it. But if you need it, I'll give it to you.
No.
In the Big Ten, who was the only player who got drafted the highest in the NFL?
Well, Desmond Howard's got to be high.
If you need the year, I'll give you the year.
How about, well, Jim Everett was the number one pick overall. Right?
Jim Everett was not. Jim Everett was not.
Okay.
The first one.
Charles Woodson, I think, was 4, but it's got to be higher than that.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. I understand. Okay. I don't want the year. You have any idea what this one, Rick?
Are you sure? Sal, can we get the... Do you have the year, Sal?
Yeah, I'll give you the year if you want
no,
it.
No, Sal. I appreciate that. I'm good, though.
All right.
Okay. But you do know the year,
I think we could
right?
use the year. But, Dave, I think we could use the year, Dave.
You do know the year, though, right,
you,
Sal?
I could tell you Jim Everett was number 3.
Number 3. Joe
Sal,
Thomas,
was it
night?
Was
also...
it Sal? Was it 1987, Sal?
That was Jim. Jim Everett was 1986, but go ahead.
How about Tony Mandarich?
Is that your final?
He was number 2, I think. It's not going to be right, but just unless you want to tell me the year, Sal.
Year is 1990.
No, it's fine. I'm going to go Tony Mandarich. Go ahead.
1990. No, it was Jeff George from Illinois. The Colts.
There you go. All right. What year? What year did that happen, Sal?
Yeah, I just told you.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And there you have it. That is Sal from Dutchess. So pretty good. What did we go? 3-1, 4-1.
Yeah, but we all won with that call.
That was a winner. Yes,
that was a winner.
Can I go back on hold after I place this call? It's not typically how it works, Sal. That, my friends, is sponsored.
No, you're going to end with that?
Well, yeah. You want to bring on one more?
Yeah, you can't end with a wrong answer.
Well, what happens if I get the next one wrong?
No, you won't. Come on.
All right, let's go to Rex in Brooklyn. Sexy Rexy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
This one's not going to be easy to get right, though. Or maybe it might. It might, actually.
So it could be easy and it could not be easy. Okay.
For you, it could be easy. So I'm switching back to football. All right? Because, you know, last year Derrick Henry went for 2,000 yards, right?
Right.
So the 7 other running backs, right? When they did it, who was the oldest to do it when they did it?
The oldest to do it. So it was Dickerson, it was Sanders. It could be OJ. Because Terrell Davis was definitely young. OJ did it in, 72? Chris Johnson? Jamal Lewis is definitely not the answer. Do you know this, Rick?
Do I know this? I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I know it's between two. And I think you named both of them.
I think it's, I'm torn between O.J. Simpson and Barry Sanders would be my two. Is that where you would go also with those two?
Those would be the two, yeah, those are the two I was thinking. I don't know exactly. I'm not 100% sure who was the oldest.
I'm gonna get it wrong. I'm going to say Barry Sanders.
Yeah, you gotta trust yourself sometimes, Dave. That's correct.
Nice.
Nice.
2000. That is correct. 53 yards, I believe. Barry Sanders. There we go.
The year, I bet you don't know the year.
97, I think he did it.
97.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, questions. Who? What team did he do it against?
The Jets, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. He gets the Jets.
Yeah, this guy's unbelievable.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.